Several years ago, I had the opportunity to meet Pastor Saheed and his wife Joyce on a trip to Guyana. And my dad and I and Scott's brother Roger stayed in their home. There were so many on the team that they had to spread us out. And Saheed and Joyce, you are such a wonderful host to us. We enjoyed being with you and enjoyed the ministry in Guyana. And now Pastor Saheed is district superintendent of the Suriname district and is responsible there. And we are privileged to have him. He's been in this church a couple of times, but I've never been here. So the first time I've had the opportunity to be here. Would you please welcome Reverend Saheed Muhammad as he comes to minister today?
Good morning, everyone. It's a great privilege and opportunity for me to be here with you and your wonderful sanctuary. I praise the Lord for his goodness and his blessings in my life. And I want to bring greetings to you from my family. My wife is here and my brother is here. But from our children and other relatives, I bring you greetings. I also would like to bring you greetings from the Church of the Nazarene in Guyana, as well as Suriname, where we are presently serving. And the people in Suriname are very excited about the ministry there and about your ministry, the way you have helped them to be able to serve the Lord. So we are very, very thankful to you, and we really appreciate what you have been doing in your ministry. And from what we have heard, not only in Guyana and Suriname, but in all the other countries that you've been visiting, I look at the picture book that you have over the years, and I've seen quite a number of different ministry opportunities that you took advantage of and have helped these places. So we are very excited about your way of ministry, and it has been an inspiration to us in Suriname. And we are hoping that we'll be able to serve the Lord in such a way like you are as the church begin to grow. I also want to bring you greetings from the Apura Church of the Nazarene. As you have heard of over the last few years, and as you have seen, I guess, with the pictures, we have a brand new church over there now. In 2017, we opened that church, and we started a church, and then in 2018, we were able to dedicate the church with 17 new members. And just this year, the membership right now is 36. And we are excited about the prospects over there. The Sunday school is growing very, very fast, and we are happy that you have made such a great input into that community. It's in a riverine area. We drove over land, myself and wife and Brother Scott and Sister Crystal and Brother John Burge. The five of us went overland to that place that is accessible only by those two ways, by land or by sea. But by land, it was a nine-hour trail trip. And the people are very excited that you could have taken the time to go over there and help them to be able to worship the Lord. So we want to thank you very much for your input. Also, the Brother Scott and Sister Crystal, they did some work with the Texas Church of the Nazarene. It's not in the U.S. It's in Suriname, an area that's called Texas. And they did some ministry there with the kids out there also. They are what we would call the Bush Negroes, that they are the runaway slaves that migrated far into the interior. They're still living out there in the interior to this day. And they have a different language that not very many people know. They speak in what we call the Saramaccan language, but we have a church out there pastored by one of the Saramaccan leaders. And your team went over there and was able to minister to the kids out there, also to the English-speaking congregation in Suriname. Now we have in Suriname five organized churches in buildings, and out of these five congregations, four have different languages. They worship in different languages. And then we have a number of different cultural groups in our community. Right now, there is a great influx of Brazilian and Spanish people from Venezuela coming over to Suriname. So ministry opportunities abound over there at this point in time. And we are excited about the prospect of ministering. So I bring you greetings from the Church of the Nazarene in Suriname and hope that we'll be able to work together in future prospects. Presently, we are hoping that we can build a church in a place that we have already purchased the land, and we're hoping that we can build a church for the Haitians who have migrated to Suriname. We have two little groups that are meeting in different congregations right now, but they don't really understand the English nor the Dutch that is being ministered in those two congregations. So we want to build a church for them in that new area. So let's keep praying and working and making this a reality for the church over in Suriname. I want to share with you a few thoughts from the book of Colossians this morning, and it's from verse 10 through 12. And the word of God reads, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Almighty God, we pause at your throne of grace this morning with grateful hearts for life and health and strength. For, O God, your words today, we pray that you will anoint feeble lips of clay and let your Holy Spirit minister to our hearts as we yield ourselves to you completely. We are asking you this morning to bless thy words to our hearts, that we might be closer drawn to you, strengthened, walking worthy, pleasing in thy sight. Bless us today, we pray, in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. I want to share a couple of thoughts with you this morning on the topic of how to walk worthy and pleasing to God. Because this is what Paul was addressing the Colossians about. He was saying that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. And the first thing I want you to know is that God is calling upon his children. Here he is saying, you are mine. You have been delivered. Delivered from Satan. Delivered from sin. Delivered from darkness. And now you are called to live a life. In those few verses he's saying, a life filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He's saying power and might. And then he mentioned the fruits of the Spirit. Long-suffering, patience, joyfulness, and thanksgiving. It's a wonderful thing to know that we are part of the family of God. And to know that he has delivered us from darkness. Delivering us from darkness, setting our feet, as the songwriter says, upon this solid rock to stay. Now he wants us to walk worthy. Now he wants us to be pleasing unto him, because he has done so much for us. Who is this God? Who is this one that is calling us? Now we who have lost that image of God in us, we who he has now restored to life, and restored within us, creating in us, making us new creations in him. He wants us to walk with him. But who is he? Isaiah called him the everlasting Father. Isaiah called him the mighty God. He called him the Prince of Peace. He called him the wonderful Counselor. Now in those four names, if we were to say the prince of the four names, we want to say that he is such a mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. There is nothing too hard for him to do. No matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what the state of affairs of your life, this God who is so mighty, who is everlasting, who nothing is too hard for, is calling upon you and I to walk with him and to walk pleasing to him, to walk worthy in one Scripture pauses, walk worthy of your vocation, that you are now his children. He's calling us. First of all, I want to share with you that we should walk worthy, knowing that God has accepted us, his acceptance of us. God is such a great God, such a mighty God. We think of those four names: Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor. Yet, he has accepted miserable man, ruined, helpless, hopeless, that none of us are worthy of this God. None of us are worthy to even think about Him in His greatness and His majesty and His splendor and His glory to say, Abba, Father. Yet He loved us so much and He has accepted us. It's a call of a loving Father to His children. Have you heeded that call? Do you know that He is your Father this morning? And as a Father, He loves you so much in His greatness and His majesty. He loves you so much that He doesn't want you to stay in sin or in darkness. He has delivered us from that. The scripture is saying He has delivered us from darkness. If we continue the next two verses, it says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He has delivered us from darkness. There is no need for us to live in sin. There is no need for us to walk in darkness. There is no need for us to stay out of His kingdom. There is no need for us to move away from Him. No matter what you are going through in this life, no matter what the situation is, I want you to know today, God is able to keep you in the way that He has called you to. And like He said, that we should walk worthy of Him. He has accepted us for who we are, and He has saved us. And now Paul says in Ephesians that we are now new creations of Him. We are now in His kingdom. We are now beat, as one writer says, we are marching to the beat of a different drummer. Formerly, we were walking in darkness. We were following the chief of sinners. We were going down that road of darkness and sin and Satan ways. But now we are marching to the beat of a different drummer. He's calling us out, and He wants us to walk worthy and to know that He has accepted us. If you don't know that God loves you so much, that God has accepted you for who you are and is willing to take you and to transform you and to change you and to make you His child, to make you a new creation, to deliver you from whatever you're going through so that you can walk with Him pleasing in His sight. His call is a call to faith in a loving God. A mighty God, a powerful God, a God who has called us, every individual. You see, this God so loved us. Every one of you, God loved you so much. You might say, well, I am too far gone. You don't know the meaning of the word. When we think about what people have gone through and God has rescued them, I am a miracle of God because of what I have gone through. God has changed and transformed my life. And He can transform every single... He loves every individual. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done, God loves you. And God is willing to accept you. And God is willing to transform you. He is such a mighty God. He loves the whole world. The whole world. There is no one exempted from this great love of God. He's accepted all of us. That's why the scripture tells us, in no uncertain term, for God so loved the world. No one is exempted. God loves you this morning. Amen? And He loves the church. He loves every individual. He loves the whole world. But He loves the church most of all. Jesus Christ gave Himself for the church. He gave Himself for you and I this morning. There is no need for us to walk in a way that is not pleasing to God, but we should walk worthy. We should walk the way He wants us to walk. Amen? Secondly, we should walk worthy also, knowing that He has not only accepted us, but we should walk worthy, living His expectation. So we walk worthy, knowing His acceptance. Now we walk worthy, living His expectations. What does God expect of you and I? You see, these words are addressed to people who are saved. People who know Him. People who have been washed by the blood. And because we've been washed by the blood, called out of sin and darkness, now He expects something from us. He expects that we should walk worthy. And how are we to walk worthy? The first thing is we have to live the transformed life. Amen? We have to live the transformed life. We cannot go back into darkness. We cannot dwell in darkness. We cannot walk away from God. We cannot love the things of the world. Jesus said, you cannot love the things of this world and love me at the same time. We have been delivered from them. So we are to live the transformed life. Live the new creation life. We are new creations of God. People must look upon us. They will never know what we believe, except when they see how we live. They have to see the transformed life in us. Newness. They must see newness in us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation of God. They must see that in us. That's what he expects. That the transformed life must be seen. Secondly, we are to live the empowered life. God expects that we should not only be transformed. You see, we have been saved, but we are called to a deeper work. We are called to a deeper experience with God. We believe in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul says in this verse here. Here's what he's saying in verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering. Now, if we are empowered by God, then these four areas that he mentioned here, these four fruits of the Spirit, these four wonderful fruits will be exemplified in our lives because of his glorious power: patience, long suffering, and joyfulness. You see, it is easy for us to be impatient. It is easy for us to get hasty and walk away. It is easy for us to get discouraged. It is easy for us to say, well, I can't handle this anymore. This is too much for me. I don't even know if God loves me that much. We sometimes doubt even the very existence of God. But what the scripture tells us, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we know that he exists, and now he wants us to live by his glorious power, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We should never be content with just being saved and come to church and, you know, enjoy the singing or the preaching or the activities. I want to commend you for such a great expenditure of time and effort in your preparation for the Vacation Bible School. It is very, very, inspiring to us to see all the preparations being made. And we know that God will really bless your labor. And so we want to commend you for that. I'm very excited about next week for you guys, as you will reach out to the kids and all the different age groups that you have for the VBS. Because it is what we do. It is, and when we put our everything into it, then God richly bless all of our efforts. So we our prayers will be with you as you continue to work with the kids during this coming week. But we should never be content with just enjoying the service, with just going through the salvation life. We should seek for a higher experience. God expects us to get deeper and deeper with him as the days go by. One writer says, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. How can that be possible if we just go through the same thing, the same way, year after year? No, we have to go higher and higher. And Paul is saying, hey, you know what? You need to experience this glorious power that will fill your hearts with this long-suffering and patience and joyfulness, all these different ways, so that you can stand there and be counted on. You can be strengthened with his great power. You can experience what he has for you. So he's saying, be filled with his Holy Spirit. Be filled with his power. Experience his great power. Do not be content with just mere acceptance of Jesus Christ as personal Savior. We know that. But you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because that is what will take you to higher heights and deeper depths in Jesus. One of the songwriters says, oh, deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Daily let me go higher, higher in a school of wisdom. more of grace to know. We can do that only as we begin to experience God more and more in this life. What did Jesus say to his disciples? They had walked with him for 3.5 years. They've seen the miracles. They've seen the healing. They were there when he fed the multitudes. They were there when he was there sharing the word. They saw scribes and Pharisees questioning him. They saw everything that he did. Yet, he said unto them, tarry ye at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said, wait in Jerusalem. You need more power. You need a deeper work. You need something more, so that you can be witnesses unto me. And this is what Paul is saying. If you want to walk pleasing to God, brethren, you have to be empowered by God. And he's talking about this glorious power. If you want to go the full mile with him, then you got to go with power. Because it is only the power of God that will keep you when you're going through those difficult times. I've heard your pastor praying this morning for a number of people who were sick. And that is not the end of the list. Every one of us, in all of our churches, in all of our families, we have people there, some of them who have gone through some really trying times. What is it that will keep them? Here is what Paul is saying, that when we go there, and we must have patience and long suffering. We must be able to stand there, stand the test of time and all that Satan will throw at us. It can only happen when we have the power of the Holy Spirit. When we have God's Holy Spirit strengthening us day by day, that no matter what come our way, we're saying, hey, I am hanging in there. I'm standing up for Jesus. I will never give up. I will never turn back. I am in this way. The Lord has delivered me. The Lord has empowered me. And I'm staying. I'm going all the way with him. This is what he's saying. We are to live the empowered life. And he's saying, there is also joy. Look at this combination. Patience and long suffering and joyfulness. Because patience and long suffering will ultimately bring joy. If you give up when you're supposed to be patient, if you give up when you're supposed to have long suffering, when you're supposed to be there through it all, then you won't have the joy. But the scripture tells us, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? So this is what Paul is getting at, that you're going to go through life, you're going to find difficulties. I think that's why he put in these three words in here, patience and long suffering, and then close it off with joyfulness. Because when we go through those things, the temptation will be there to give up, to fall back, to be, you know, to act defeated and lethargic, to not being able to really. But he's saying, no. If we be steadfast, if we stay true, if we stay faithful, the joyfulness will result. So this is what God expects of us. Walk living God expectations of you, that you can have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to live the life of patience, to live the life of long suffering, and to experience the joy that he has. Because he said, this is what will eventually come your way, joyfulness. Thirdly, not only the transformed life and the empowered life, but also the fruitful life. These are fruits of the Spirit. And God's fruits as of the Spirit is there for every one of his children. He expects that of us. God expectation of us. In John chapter 15, he spoke about the fruits. He said, every tree is supposed to bear fruits. We paraphrase it. If we don't bear fruits, then we'll be cut off, withered, and cast into the furnace. We're expected to bear fruits. There'll be pruning, of course. There'll be cleaning. But he said, the husbandman will take care of every tree, every vine. You see, we are not like wild vines. I mean, you might have seen plants in your yard that grew up just wild. Plants on the highway that grew up real wild. We have back home, we have a papaya. The papaya tree, they grow wild on the roadside. And many times those trees will have fruits sometimes very small because they depend on the weather, and sometimes the weather is not at its best. But what does the psalmist say about the Christians? What does the psalmist say about the trees planted by the rivers of water? I mean, trees planted. You are planted of the Lord. And because you are planted of the Lord, He will take care of you. And what is expected of you? That you shall be fruitful. Because here's what scripture says. You shall be a tree planted by the rivers of water that shall bring forth the fruit. Every tree will bring forth because you are taken care of by God. You're not no wild plant out there. You are planted by the Lord. And whatever God plant, He will take care of it. He has planted you here in this church, in your family, in your workplace, wherever it is, so that you can bear these fruits, so that you can be fruitful. So God expects of us that we should be fruitful. Unfruitful vines and branches are cut off. Remember the unfruitful fig tree? That when Jesus looked up and He said, they should have been fruit here on this tree. There was no fruit there. It suffered, it cut off faith. God expects us to bear fruit. So it's not only God's acceptance of us, but it's God's expectation of us that we should live the transformed life, that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that we should be fruitful. Finally, walk trusting God's assurances to you. The assurance that He had made, the things that He has planned and put in place for you and I. When we think about our redemption, justification, adoption, regeneration, and then finally sometime in the near future for us, there'll be glorification. God has placed His plan in store for everyone. He has given us the assurance in His word that if we walk worthy, then those assurance will come true. We have been delivered from the dominion of sin. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. We have been transformed into the kingdom of God. We are now living the Spirit-filled life. We are now walking with Him hand in hand daily. We are now living the empowered life. We are now living the fruitful life. And because of that, God has granted to us His assurances that He is with us. He's the God who will never, ever leave His church. No matter where you go, I have found that true in my life. No matter where I go, whatever I do, my wife and I, we said, Lord, wherever you want us, that's where we will go. Anywhere, everywhere in this world, we will go to do your will. Because we believe in the assurances that He has given us, that we are His children. He has planned for us. He has purpose for us. And ultimately, one day, we will be with Him in the kingdom. That's His assurance to us. Strength for holy living in this life is only from Him. No other being, no other religion offer strength for holy living. Other religions talk about God, talk about a way back to God, talk about different things, but none offer strength for holy living. When we talk about empowerment, it is only in Christianity that we find a God who is there helping His people to walk each day. It is only in Christianity we find a God who is there with His people. He is the one who said, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He is with us. He has promised us that. That's the God that we serve. And so therefore, if we want the crown of righteousness, if we want to ultimately be with our God forever and ever with Him all the time, then we have to walk trusting in His assurance. Trusting in Him because He is such a God. And what a wonderful God. What a mighty God. Trust Him for salvation this morning. Trust Him for sanctification, for empowerment. Trust Him. Walk with Him. Be fruitful. Be faithful. Live the holy life. He is the Lord who said, Be ye holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. He wants us to live that life. That's God's expectation of us, that He has accepted us. And He's not only accepted us, but He expects certain things of us, and then He grants us the assurances of walking worthy with Him. Shall we pray this morning? Almighty God, we thank you today because you are such a great God. Yet in your greatness as the everlasting Father, as the mighty God, as the Prince of Peace and the wonderful Counselor, yet, Lord, in our ruined state and helpless state and lost state, you reach down to us, O God, to save us, to sanctify us, to empower us, and, Lord, to make us fruitful in your kingdom. Help us to walk worthy this morning. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. And it's a great privilege to be here with you this morning. And I'm excited about the prospect of keep serving the Lord. You and your church has been very good to us and to the work of the Lord. We really appreciate what you're doing. God bless you. And over back to our pastor.
Thank you, Pastor. Would you express appreciation, Pastor Sahib? Amen. Walking worthy. What a great message to each one of us that God calls every single one of us to walk worthy of the grace of God and the love of God. Thank you, Pastor. That's an excellent passage. I love Colossians. That is a powerful book. If you just have time, maybe this afternoon, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, to open up your Bible and read that passage again in the book of Colossians. What a beautiful call to every believer. As you said, written to the believer, to how God wants us to walk, worthy. Amen. Worthy of the gospel. Thank you so much, Pastor, for sharing and coming, being with us today. I'd like to ask if our ushers would come. We're going to receive an offering to support the ministry of Pastor Saheed and the Apura Church. And we want to, as God gives the opportunity to be able to bless them and say thank you for coming all the way to Pennsylvania.
You're welcome.
I think they're leaving today and going up to Canada. Yep. And Ishmael, you live in Toronto. Yep. That's what I understand. And they have family in New York, I believe. Is it your son and daughter in New York?
Son.
I don't know where everybody is now, but they have family all around, and we've had a great blessing for you to be with us again this day.
Praise
and we pray for God's hand on your life and your ministry. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gospel that is great. I pray that we would walk worthy, Lord God, that we would be fruitful, that we would be filled with your Spirit, God, and know how important it is that we would walk every day trusting you and committed to you, God. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the call, God, in times that are difficult. As Pastor Saheed has said, I know there are many people in our church family that are going through difficult times. God, I pray that you make their faith strong. And even in the midst of the most difficult times, sometimes the most difficult questions, God, that you would comfort them, that you would help them to be strong, that you would help them to know that they can trust you, and that they can know that you are with them to the end of the age, God. Help them, I pray. Bless them. Help us to walk worthy as a church. Again, we thank you for Saheed's life and calling and ministry and the privilege for him and his wife and his brother to be with us today. Pray for the church at Apura. I think even this morning as they worship you, Lord God, that they would be drawn to your wonderful truth and your Spirit and your presence. And Lord God, may you bless the people of Suriname, of Guyana, and the world, God. As Saheed said, that no one is exempt. There's not a single person outside of the reach of the love of God in Guyana, in Africa, in Asia, or in Pennsylvania. God, may we believe that and know that and be drawn to your truth, I pray. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege to have these precious people with us. In Jesus' name, amen.